KIW iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
You know, the fun part is that we make concessions very rarely, but boy, oh boy, we'll do it for this family, you bet. Whether it be Steve, whether it be Tim, I mean, we cannot wait to have them on, and anytime that we can have them on, that's the good reason to have them with us. So, Tim, Demisak, how are you from the Great Lakes Gassers?
I'm wonderful. Living a dream, you know.
Bless your heart. Now, watch this. Now, I'm looking over the corner of my eye, and Daniel has set the timer. We now have 13 minutes and 27 seconds. Two. Because Tim is absolutely busy. And again, Tim, we're thrilled. And thank you so very much for moving around your schedule to have us on. Or have you on with us.
No problem. Glad to do it for you guys.
All right. So now here's the big picture. Here it comes. Here comes the Nostalgia Drags. The Nostalgia Nationals are going to be at Milan this Saturday and Sunday with absolutely no rain. So drop by and say hi. Now, Tim, you are the head honcho of the Great Lakes Gassers, and you've been on here before with us.
That is correct, yes.
So people basically know the little bit of the backstory, but tell us what's going to go on this weekend with your club.
So this is our biggest event of the year, and it is a three-day event for us. We will invade the drag strip on Friday afternoon evening for tech inspection of the vehicles and parking, and then in the evening we'll do some time trials, and then Saturday's the big day, big cash payout. I hope to have at least 25 to 30 cars there as a minimum, and two qualifiers in the morning, and then we'll line them up and do some real racing in the afternoon.
Yeah, so how does that work out? Okay, so we know that the gates are going to open up at 9, if I'm not mistaken what Steve said, and they're going to actually open up the gates for racing at 10. So how does that work with your club to get in and out? I mean, you just run up first? Is there a sequence?
The track will establish a sequence, for the running order for the day. You know, the stick shift guys will be there, the funny cars will be there, we'll be there, and they'll have box and no box. We'll have all these different categories. And then they'll let me know where I run, you know, at some point. They'll give me a document that will say, all right, Tulsi, you're running, your group's running fourth or fifth in the day. So then I can go back and report that to the group so that they're ready to go. And then we'll have our two qualifiers, and we qualify on reaction time. So we run on a 4/10 pro tree, which almost ensures that we have nobody to red lights. And it makes for a good start for all the races. And so we have two qualifiers, and then after that, a couple hours later, we'll start eliminations.
Man, and the funny thing is that this thing is not going to be done, oh dear listener, at 1 o'clock. Oh, no. I mean, if you had 37 cars, or let's just say you had 30 cars, just your club alone, you know, I mean, my God, by the time you get to the finals, someone's going to really have their entertainment dollars stretched.
Absolutely. This will go long into the evening, you know, and then the funny cars will make their hits. They'll probably make it, and I'm guessing, I don't know what Steve told you, probably at least two or three passes, at least, minimum. And so that show will go on till, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, before it's all done and said.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, if you get there at 10, you know, and to see who starts and who gets the preliminaries and all that stuff, you know, and you it's a whole day for people to be there. I mean, get your grandma's ice cream and get the Miller beer that's there, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you broke some news. We didn't know how many passes that the funny guys are going to do. Now we do.
Yeah. Well, I don't speak for them, but I know traditionally what they've done, and I wouldn't be surprised 2 to 3 would be probably a good run for them. And I don't know if they're establishing a ladder, if they're just doing exhibition passes. I don't know. But I know our group, in the mid upper 20s, near 30 cars, it'll be 7, 8 o'clock before we're finished. I can promise you some great burnouts, big launches. You know, we really try to be a real crowd pleaser. That's our whole purpose, is to bring old style drag racing back and put on a show for you.
You know, and you've never disappointed everybody that we've talked to, and especially when we were up at Ubley with your club, with John Topkin was up there. I mean, everybody, no kidding. And Tim's not underselling the, or overselling this at all. I mean, it is to the bumper, kids. You know, as much as they can do to the wheelie bars, there is something about, if you're hip to drag racing at all, and if you've seen it, grew up with it and something, there is nothing like a green light start, and that bumper looks at the cloud. You know, and especially with the cars that you have. I mean, you have all kinds of cars coming. I mean, you have the old Falcons that we saw. Not the old Falcons, but the Falcons. I mean, what is what is the most classic car you have in your club, in your group?
Geez, the most classic. You know, I mean, I guess when people think about the old Gasser groups, you know, you think about the Henry Jays, the Willys Coupes, the Willys Pickups, the Austins, the Tri-5 Chevys, Tri-5 Fords. And we'll certainly have all that kind of stuff. But the nice thing is we have some really unique cars out there. The Chevy 2s, the John Densky, Rotten Orange car, of course, hopefully will be there. And then you've got these unusual cars that people can really identify with. You know, we've got the Budget Bender out there, the four-door Falcon, that's always a good entertainer. And these other cars that people relate to because, like, I owned a Falcon, and I owned a Comet or a Truck-type Chevy. And it's like, and I'm thinking, like, well, yeah, but I got this really nice Willys Coupe over here. Yeah, but I own one of those Falcon four-doors, you know, back in the day, and it's kind of crazy. And we really try to let everybody get in there and have some fun. We really try to be more of a family than we are an organization and a club. Somebody said to me that once this year, they're like, you know, you guys are almost more like a family than you are just a car club. And I go, well, you know, I guess you're right. You know, we have no friends at 1,320 feet.
Yeah, you're right. You don't.
But after the race, if we turn around and we pick up our tickets and we go back to the pits, we're all friends. And that's what's important. That's one of the most important things about our group. You know, when we lose, we go up and we congratulate that winner of the previous race. And that's what it's all about. It's about that camaraderie, that friendship, that family-like atmosphere that we really try to create within the group. And, you know, and it's hard sometimes when it's super busy like it'll be this weekend. But you know, on our off time and stuff, you know, people pitch in and help other people with their cars if there's an issue. And this is how we operate, you know. We're out there to put on a good show and whatever it takes. If we've got to get some people to help, then we'll get some people in there to help other cars.
You know, and you're absolutely right. We stand corrected. It is more like a family because if you go around where the Great Lakes Gassers are, they, and especially where you guys are going to be, because at the Detroit reunion, I mean, you were all situated in one area.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. You know, and the good thing is that you can also, now, here's something that we discussed before, and this is what something we want to underline. If the Great Lakes Gassers fellows are not thrashing and they're not swearing, chances are good. You can go up to see them if, it, you know, obviously if there's something going wrong. They don't, I would assume, let me go out on a limb here, Tim. I would assume that your family, and we'll put that in quotes, doesn't mind if people come up and take pictures of your car.
Oh, God, no. In fact, you know, I mean, this year's been a little different with the COVID situation.
Yes.
But in all years past, you know, this is our number, this is year 11 for us officially. And up until this year, if a parents walk up and they've got kids, you know, most of our group, almost all of them, will be the first to say, you know, you want to get in a race car? Because that kind of experience for a kid that might be, you know, 5, 6, 3, 4, 5, 10 years old, whatever it might be, they're going to remember that forever. You know, that guy let me get in his shiny Willys Coupe or you know, the Dodge, you know, altered wheelbase Hemi car or whatever it might be, you know. These kids can't scratch that car any worse than I do getting in and out of it. So, you know, it's not a show car. It's a race car. And the kids are going to get in that thing, and they're going to remember that forever. And that's why we do it.
Yeah, but your blue car is doggone close to a show car. I mean, that's beautiful. Beautiful mobile, my man.
It's a race car. Steven did a great job of painting this. You know?
But the pictures, it really looks nice. You know, I mean, obviously, there's some super care done with it. But it is fun to tell people, and it's... I guess people feel, intimidated or they're not sure because, you know, you guys are big deal racers, and what are we? We're just fans, you know. I mean, I think we almost have like the Detroit auto show or the Autorama mentality, you know, look, but keep your hands behind your back, you know, whereupon which you folks are like, come on by, say hi.
Right, absolutely. You know, we like to entertain. We like to talk about our cars and stuff, and what's in the engines, and what we've done to the things, and how fast they are. You know, we don't mind bragging. We like to do that, and if we can get the kids involved because they're the next generation, they're the ones coming up. And if you can kind of plant the seed now, in 10, 15 years when they're old enough to they have driver's license and start building their own cars, and their parents will help or whatever, then that's what we're trying to do then, is to get them involved and plant the seed early.
You know what? And that brings up a really unique question. If kids wanted to build gassers, okay. I mean, here's your junior dragster. We understand where that goes. But, I mean, if you're looking to, because it's not like gassers are us down the street where you can buy parts. You know, so if right. somebody was interested in building their first gasser, where would they kind of start?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, those things are out there. They are for sale. You know, and the best thing to do is to start with something that's simple. You know, John Tompkins is kind of the perfect example. He's kind of the poster child for that because his son...
yes, that's right.
Anthony is, you know, just 16, 17 years old now, and him and dad have put together a four-door Chevy 2 with an inline six-cylinder engine in it that definitely is down into the 13s with a little turbo on it. And it's not so fast that it's dangerous. And Dad's kind of brought him along step by step by step, and done some racing up at Ubley, which is 8th Mile, and has been down to Mile End with the quarter mile. And then he'll be there this weekend with his dad. But that's how it starts. You know, you've got to have a parent or uncle or somebody like that's involved, grandparent that's involved, and then start with something that's slow, and then learn your way around the track, learn the tree, you know, learn the etiquette of drag racing, and then. You have a car that's a little slower, and then work up to something that's faster and faster as you're comfortable with it. You know, you don't ever want to rush into and put a kid in a 9-second or 10-second car because that's just dangerous. Nobody needs to get hurt out there.
Yeah. I mean, did you start that way?
Oh, yeah. My first car that I raced was the car that I drove daily, which was a 1971 Monte Carlo. And when my dad found out that I had raced it, he was not real thrilled. And I'm not sure if it was even a 14-second car. It was probably a 14 or 15-second car. It wasn't fast. And then I moved on. I had a 67 Chevelle that I raced that was a 13-second car, and then, you know, a 70 Chevelle. And so, I mean, I've kind of moved faster and faster. The coupe is by far the fastest car I've ever had. But it's a tricky car to drive because it's short wheelbase. It sits high in the front, you know. So, you know, it comes with its own challenges. Let's just say that. And it's a stick, so you're constantly driving the thing.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, and it looks like it's a handful, but, you know, for the people sitting in the stands, we tip our hat and say thank you, because the show is so much more fun than, I will say, personally speaking, for everybody here at CK, we would rather watch a gasser all day long than watch a current version funny car, you know? Only because, yeah, the relatability thing, but there's actual racing going on. There's actual something going on. And when you guys leave that line, I mean, there's the pageantry of this. I mean, the excitement begins. You know, I know you guys are thinking about 100 different other things, but when we watch it, as soon as you see that the R's go up and the wheels go up, and then there goes, you know, somewhere down 1,000 feet down mid-track and things are starting to move, man, I mean, the adrenaline just pumps in.
Yep. You know, all the years that I've raced, I've only given a couple people rides, and the one guy was an older gentleman who was a photographer, and he had never been down the racetrack in a race car, and I gave him a ride, and it was, you know, at Norwalk, it was stupid hot, as it always is down there, and, you know, I strapped the guy in, put a bucket on his head, and made the pass, and the trick is you just have to ignore the passenger, you just have to completely ignore that there's anybody there, and made the pass, and I'm, you know, in the shutdown lane, I'm rolling the window down, and the guy grabs my arm, and I look over at him, he's like pointing at his arm, he goes, look at the goosebumps. Like, gotta be 100 degrees in the car, you know. And we get out of the car, and he goes, you people are insane.
Yeah, you are.
You guys who drive cars are insane. And I'm like, what? I just was driving. He goes, no, You guys are insane. You know, it was just hilarious. You know, because I just drive the car. You know, I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I'm just driving, you know, and shifting the thing and doing what I got to do. And but when you're a passenger, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
You have no control on that side of the car.
Yeah, but wait till you sit in the stands and you see it, because your cars and your family are colorful. They have names. They're reliable. You know, you can relate to these things. And boy, I'm telling you, you're right. You guys don't scrimp on putting on a show. I mean, it's sometimes we almost think that you go, well, you know, I hope parts don't break, but if they do, watch this, you know?
Yeah, no, and some of us, like me, for example, have spent a lot of time this year fixing the vehicle. I've had transmission issues all year, and the folks up at Liberty Transmission have been pretty helpful, and hopefully, you know, lovely last couple weekends ago, I had it kind of sorted out, and hopefully this weekend goes flawlessly, and I have a good weekend, and yeah.
Well,
it's just part of the game, you know. When you build something and you push it that hard, things break.
Yeah,
and that's just part of the game, you know. You want to go fast, you're gonna break stuff.
Well, that's the amazing thing, and we love that kind of attitude from a racer, because it makes us want to come out to the stands even more and watch you guys, only because it's not like one of those, well, I only want to run 660 because I don't want to break parts. If you're worried about breaking parts, don't be in drag racing. You know,
right.
Go in bicycle racing or something. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, we promised you 15. We mean 15. We're slightly over right now. Anything we did not talk about that we should have talked about today?
Nope, I would say, you know, get there early.
Yeah.
Count on sitting in the day. The better shade is on the west side of the track, but certainly come over on the east side and visit all of us and hang out and ask questions. Absolutely. Come and enjoy yourself that day, Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, and Saturday's going to be nice weather, and you guys do have a big payout, don't you, for first place?
Yeah, we do. So I don't know exactly what the numbers are. The track has told us that whatever comes in on our entry fee will come back to us. So
wow.
It depends on how many cars come in. You know, it could be a nice big payday for somebody.
Right? Yeah, so these...
And I always pay winner, runner-up, and semis, maybe down even to the quarters. So I try to spread the money around as far as I can.
It's not like these guys wouldn't get on it without it. But boy, bill is out in front of you, you kind of go,
Right.
Tim Demosik, thank you so very much. Great Lakes Gassers, hang on the line for just a second. We'll be right with back Tim. But for right now, we're going to go with Stefan Wolf and Born to be Wild here on CKW Radio 76.